All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Romans, chapter 2, for the message this morning. I want to ask you folks to keep Pastor Holbrook in your prayer. He's down with whatever everybody else has. And so pray for his recovery. You're healthy, right? Okay. I'll say, don't breathe on me. And Pastor Brian has already had it, so he's probably immune now. And I haven't had it yet, so I am. I just did twice. All right, are you there? Romans chapter 2, please. Let's begin in verse 1, and you follow along as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you, and you may feel free to use that one. All right, look at verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. All right, now in a nutshell, man's judgments, we don't have any room to judge, all right? We don't have any room to judge anyone else. You know, it's like Jesus said, you're sitting there wondering, is that a mote in my brother's eye? And the whole time you're inspecting that little tiny speck that's in his eye, you got a 2x4 hanging out your own eye. And you're banging him in the head, about to knock him out with the 2x4 that's hanging out your own eye. We don't have any room to judge. But God's judgments are truth. Amen. All right, now let me say that again. God's judgments are truth. In other words, when God judges, that's the final authority right there. All right, look please now at verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That is a powerful verse. All right, now look at verse 5. Here's my text verse. Verse 5 says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, I have never preached on these verses until now. And I'm going to be honest with you, the reason I didn't is because these are difficult sayings. They're hard sayings. And so I read it earlier this week, and I just sat and thought about it for a little while. And I looked at verse 5, and I said to myself, right there, that's the key to understanding what the Apostle Paul is trying to say to the Romans. All right, now, here's my title for the message this morning. This is where I want to take verse 5 this morning. I want to speak to you about the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin. I think that's what verse 5 is describing for us. All right, let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to help us and then the message. Let's pray together. Now, our Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless. Thank you for the music that we have heard that undoubtedly has prepared our hearts to receive the seed of your word. And Father, I pray that you will bless your word this morning. Give me strength, give me encouragement and help. And Father, help me to say what I need to say. I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can possibly be a blessing is if you bless me. So help me, Father, to convey the truth of your word today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, let's think about this matter of the consequences of sin. You know, ever since Adam disobeyed the word of the Lord and sinned against God Almighty in the garden, and thus plunging mankind into sin, we have seen on this earth the terrible, terrible consequences of sin. As those consequences have taken many, many, many different avenues to destroy and to wreak havoc upon mankind. The truth is, no one sins without paying a terrible, huge price for sin. Now, let me say that again. No one sins without paying a terrible, huge price for sin. There are some folks that think that when they're young, they're just untouchable. You know, you say, well, how do you know that? Because that's how I felt. I felt that you know, I'm young. I felt I was untouchable. You know, you can't just do what you want going through life. That's anarchy. And anarchy comes from one thing, and that is our sinful hearts. And so there are some folks that think that, you know, sin's not going to impact them. Well, I got news for you. It's going to. It may not be the day that you commit that sin, but it is eventually going to stand in front of you and impact you in an amazing way. I have been in the pastorate for a long time, and I have counseled a lot of folks through the years. And many folks think that they can do whatever they want to do, and that God will not dare attach any consequences to them. They're somehow exempt. Now, they're not surprised when they see others who have sinned and are paying a price for their sin. They're not shocked by that, but there are a lot of folks that just think, well, it's not going to impact me. Well, let me tell you, dear friend, yes, it is. Yes, it is. There is coming a day when you're going to have the consequences that go along with your sinful ways. There are folks that, young folks that think that they can drink, or they can do drugs, or they can, play with sin, and that it's not going to hurt them. Well, it is going to hurt you. And I'm going to show you how and why and ways that that's going to hurt you in the long run. But then, one day, here's what happens. One day, these folks who think that they're invincible have to come to the realization that sin has some very powerful consequences that they are going to be called upon to pay. Strong consequences. No one is going to escape sin. You're just not going to do it. Do you know that I've learned a couple of things in my 48 years of being in the ministry. So I hope you'll listen this morning. I hope you'll give me your attention this morning, especially all of the young couples and all of the young folks that are in our service this morning. I've observed a couple of things. You know, one thing I've observed is this. I have learned that sin always costs a whole lot more than you ever thought you were going to have to pay for it. It always costs more. I have also learned that sin always takes you farther down the road than you ever thought it would take you. It always does. It's just the nature of the beast. I have learned that sin always leaves you in more distress than you ever imagined that it would. And plainly and simply, I have learned that sin always hurts you much greater than you ever imagined that sin could hurt you. Last Sunday evening, in the message that I preached right here, I said that many young people think that they can just rebel against their mom and their dad and their church and their pastor and their youth pastor, and that they can just go off and do whatever they want to do and sin regardless of what it is, and that they can then just walk away if it starts to get too much for them. Well, I want you to know something, young people. That's not the way sin works. You're going to find out one day when you go to walk away, you can't get away. You see, it's like flesh hooks in the Bible. That's kind of how it's described. You know what a flesh hook is, right? That's a big hook on the end of a rope that you stick into a slab of beef and raise it up in the air. All right, that's a flesh hook. And what happens is sin gets its hooks in your flesh. And when you try to run, it won't turn you loose. There's a place, several places down in West Virginia where Larry Stainer and I used to go trout fishing all the time. And there it's well marked. And it will say, for the next, half a mile, and it's always marked, but for the next half a mile, you must use barbless hooks. Barbless hooks. Now, what's that mean? Well, a fish hook comes down, and it's real sharp out here on the point, but it has a barb right here. And so when that fish bites, you set the hook, and it comes through the lip, and that barb keeps it from going back out. And now, trout are notorious fighters. They feel the least little bit of resistance, and they go crazy. And they'll jump out of the water, and if you don't have the hook, what we call set, then that fish is going to get off most probably. All right? Not always, but most probably. So, barbless hooks make it much more difficult to catch fish. But when it comes to the matter of sin, I can guarantee you that the flesh hooks that the devil uses are not going to let you get free. They're just not going to do it. Now, every now and then, you'll run into somebody who says, who gets saved, and they'll say, man, I just quit drinking right there. Well, praise the Lord. God was good to you if that's the case. But I cannot tell you how many times I have had to go to the psych ward of a hospital and stand beside the bed of a drunkard and hold their hand while they scream and cry and see things I had one fellow one time said, "Pastor, you see that?" And I looked at the, "See what?" He said, "On the wall." I said, "No." He said, "Get it away from me." And I said, "What are you seeing, Butch?" He said, "It's the biggest bug I've ever seen." I said, "Butch, there's no bug on that wall." "Yes, there is." And then he'd go back out again. What is that? That's the alcohol saying, "I'm not turning you loose." That's sin saying, "I'm not going to turn you loose." And folks, that is exactly what sin does. You start dealing with drugs and alcohol and smoking and marijuana and all the rest of it. And you say, "Well, I can stop this anytime I want." Okay, stop. The truth of the matter is, you can't, because it's got its hooks in you. And when it puts its hooks in you, the more you resist, the more it hurts. Amen. I mean, that's how it works, folks. I'm sorry, I didn't make the rules, but I do know how it works. I have watched many a young person start to play with drugs and dabble in sin, only to see sin begin to destroy the life of that young person. And only by the grace of God are they going to get free. Now, let me say it again. No one sins without paying a tremendous price. No one. Now, listen carefully. I'm not to the main part of the message yet, all right? So I got to lay a foundation here, but listen carefully. Those who do not repent of their sin will have to pay an eternal price for their sin. An eternal price. Whenever they stand before God Almighty at a judgment the Bible calls the Great White Throne Judgment. Now that judgment is where all of the unsaved are going to be brought out of hell, and they're going to be stood in front of the throne of God. And God is then going to take the books, all 66 of them, right here in this thing called the Bible. You say, "Well, why is he going to take the Bible?" Because the Bible is the book that tells us how to get saved from sin. It tells us all about sin, all about the nature of sin, and how to get free from it. And there's only one way to get free from it, and that's to come to Jesus. You got to be born again. "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." You say, "Well, why do I need to get born again?" Because you must be. There's no other option. All right? And so, what a terrible day it's going to be when an unrepentant sinner stands at the Great White Throne Judgment and has to listen to God Almighty as God looks him straight in the face and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You say, "Well, how do you get to know the Lord?" You be born again. Amen. You trust the Lord Jesus. Now, folks, look at verse 5, please. Let me take you back to verse 5. Look at it. He says, "But after thy hardness and unrepentant," all right, that's what impenitent means, unrepentant heart, "treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath," and that's that Great White Throne Judgment that I'm talking about. That's the day of wrath for the unsaved. All right, and then it says, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So in other words, folks, when the unsaved, when the unrighteous, the unsaved have to stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment, God's judgment is going to be true. You see, you're not going to be able to stand there and say, Lord, I couldn't serve you because. You know, you hear these folks say, I can't go to church. I have to. And then they tell you why they can't come to church, because they have to. I can't serve the Lord because I have to. Oh, somebody's got a gun to your head? Somebody is walking behind you with a loaded gun and says, now, if you serve the Lord, I'm going to shoot you. No, that's not happening, is it? So what do you mean, I have to? I'm going to tell you, God's judgment is going to be a truthful judgment. And you use that stuff on God, and God's going to laugh and say, no, you didn't. And you're going to know down deep in your heart that God's right and you're wrong. Mark it down. Mark it down. So this fifth verse is a great warning about the peril of sin. One cannot play with sin and expect that there is not terrible consequences connected to their sinful ways. The very nature of sin is that it destroys, and it is not a respecter of persons. It will impact young people. It will impact old people. And it'll impact all in between. Now let's think about this great verse this morning. Let me break it down into three parts if I can. If I can get done. I doubt I will. I've already chased four or five rabbits this morning. Number one, I want you to notice with me from verse 5, the curse of sin. Do you know sin has a curse? Yeah. And that curse was passed along to you from your mom and dad. And they got the curse from their mom and dad. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Do you know we're all related? That's strange, isn't it? But we are. We're all related. We all can trace back to Adam and Eve. All right, now, notice the curse. Look at the first part of this verse and look at what it says. It says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart. You see, the curse of sin is death. That's what it's going to bring. Death. Sin does some terrible things to us. It always has a negative effect upon the sinner. Sin does awful things to us. I remember when I pastored in Joliet, Illinois, before Karen and I and the kids came here, there was a lady who started coming to our church, and she was about 45 years old and was a very well-dressed, very kept person, and very quiet. She would just come in, sit down, get up, and leave. And she came to our church for probably a good year, and then her husband, we later found out, her husband was waiting for a heart transplant at Loyola Hospital in Chicago. And she asked if I could put her husband on the prayer list. And I said, well, certainly, that's what we do. And so we kept praying praying for him, and months went by. And she said, Pastor, really pray for Ken. He's not doing well. I said, okay, we'll step up the prayer. So I announced it, and so I got more information. I didn't even know what her name was. She was very quiet, did not want to, you know, say anything. And so I learned, though, that her husband's name was Ken. And so Ken turned out to be one of the enforcers for the outlaw motorcycle gang in Chicago, in Joliet, their chapter. Now, those guys are not anyone you want to mess with, all right? Meanest guys I ever ran into in my life. And her husband was a big shot in that motorcycle gang. And she called one Sunday. Now, he was about, I would say, 46, 47. Linda was probably about 45, if I remember right. And so she called about an hour before church, and she said, Pastor, Ken wants to know if he comes to church tonight, can he get saved and then follow the Lord in believer's baptism? And I said, really? And she said, yeah, can he? And I could hear him in the background going, well, ask him, Linda, ask him. Well, she just asked me. And so I said, you tell him, yes, come on, I'll be waiting for you. Well, I stood by the door and waited, and they never came in. And so we went and got the service, and just as the service was getting ready to start, I saw the door open in the back, and I saw Linda come in. She's helping this old man through the door. And when he came through the door, he was bent over. Well, then he stood up. He bent over to come in the door. That's how big he was. Now, not only was he tall, about 6'8", but he was also bloated from his heart not working right. And so I thought, who is that old man? Is that Ken? And she comes walking him down to the front. He wanted to sit in the front so he wouldn't have long to go, you know, to get to the altar. And so as he's coming down front, I'm sitting there going, this guy's 45, 46 years old. He looks like he's 110. Do you know that's what sin does to you? That's what sin does to you. You know, the moment we're born, we start the process of dying. And that's because of sin. And so here was this 45, 46-year-old man, white hair, wrinkled, old. I mean, not just old, aged, you know, decrepit. And he could barely make his way down to the front row of the church. And that's what sin does to you, folks. Now, this fella died just a couple of months later. He did get saved, and he did get baptized, but he did pass away way too early simply because he got in way over his head in the sinful ways of this world. And it cost him. It cost him everything. I remember back several years ago when Trump was elected the first time, and they had this big rally down in D.C., and they brought all these Los Angeles celebrities in to protest, and they introduced this one person. I didn't even know who they were talking to. I was watching the news and I saw it, and the reporter said, here's and named her. And he stopped her and he started asking her questions. And I thought, he didn't just say, oh, that can't be her. That just can't be her. And so then finally underneath her name came up. And I thought, good night, girl. I mean, you could have at least put a bag over your head before you came out in public. I mean, mercy. You know, they get all dolled up and then go on TV. They're all dolled up for that. And it's all just to cover the effects of sin. But folks, those effects hit us all. They hit us all. And that's what sin does. It takes its toll upon the body. But wait a minute. Sin also takes its toll upon a person's heart. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, sin hardens the heart of a person. Oh, I've seen folks so hard-hearted, I've wondered, what in the world has caused you to become so hard-hearted against God? What happened to you? I mean, it's like nothing ever gets through to them. You just scratch your heads and wonder, what has sin done to you? But you see, sin curses the heart with hardness, with an unrepentant attitude. That's what it does. That's what it does. I've talked to folks, my mind goes to the trip last year down to New Zealand and to Australia. I've never seen so many hard-hearted people in all my life. Oh, they're nice. They're friendly. But you mention gospel, and boy, just walk away. I handed one lady a gospel tract. She looked at me and tore it up right in front of me and dropped it on the ground. I gave a cashier at the grocery store. I gave her a gospel tract. She took the tract from my hand, looked me dead in the eye, and threw it in the trash can that was underneath her register. And Lewis was standing there with me, and I said, did she just throw that away? And Lewis went. I said, she just threw that away. And I looked at that little girl, and I said, ma'am, did you just throw that tract I gave you away? She wouldn't answer me, and I said, I'm going to give you another one. And if you throw this one away, I'm going to bite you on the arm. Well, she started grinning, and she said, that was rude, wasn't it? And I said, terribly rude. I said, now I'm going to give you this one. And don't you dare throw it away. You understand? She smiled and said, yes, sir. I said, now, respect your elders, young lady. And so she reached down in the trash can, picked the old one up, and handed it back to me. I said, all right, I'll take this one out of the trash can. Thanks a lot. But you read that one. Folks, listen, sin hardens. It hardens. Sin curses the heart with hardness and an unrepentant attitude. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice the compilation of sin. Look at the verse. Look at verse 5. He said, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, that's what sin does to you. Secondly, notice the compilation of sin. It just piles up. You know, if we don't deal with it, hey folks, look at me. God is keeping score. All right? God is keeping score. Look at your Bible. He said, treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. Wow, that is unbelievable. You say, well, I never thought about that, Pastor. It's time to think about it, isn't it? It's time to think about it. God is just compiling sin against us. He says, the more we sin, the worse is going to be the judgment. The more we sin. You know, I've said for years, and I believe this with all of my heart, that when an unsaved person stands at the great white throne and God says, why have you not received my word? Why didn't you listen to the word of God? Why didn't you listen? I think what you're going to find is a lot of people say, well, and then they're just going to shut down. Because no argument's going to work. And they're going to realize, I just might as well keep my mouth shut here. All I'm doing is turning up the flame a little bit. God's keeping track, folks. Hey, unsaved person, God's keeping track. With most folks, it's almost like we forget that God is keeping records, but he is. There is not one sin that any of us commit, but what God Almighty knows what that sin is. God knows the heart, the motive for that sin. He knows the heart that we had when we were sinning. He knows. He's God. And it's like the book of Hebrews says in chapter 4, he said, all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Look at sin this way, folks. Each sin that we commit is like a deposit in the bank. And the more you deposit, the greater is your treasure. Only this time, it's a treasure of sin that has to be judged. It's the same way with sin and how it impacts us. You see, the more an unsaved person sins, the greater is the amount that God will have against that unsaved person when the judgment comes. And at the great white throne judgment, which is going to happen at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, all of the unsaved folks are going to have a terrible, terrible day. That's not going to be a good day for any unsaved person. Not a one. Because don't forget, God's judgments are true. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Here's what you do. You flee to the Lord Jesus Christ now while you can. While you can. You see, the Lord Jesus can remove all of the accumulated sin with the blood of his Son. Your sins will be removed through the power of his blood. That precious blood will allow you to escape the wrath of God Almighty. Oh, it's going to be a very dark day for the unsaved person who has rejected Christ. And I believe that when we stand before the Lord and he says, why did you not get saved? I think we're going to remember every gospel tract that was handed to us. I think we're going to remember every sermon you ever heard me preach is going to come back to mind. Don't you remember the Lord Jesus said to the rich man, remember. Remember. You'll be able to remember. You say, well, I got that forgetter thing going on now. Yeah, but when you stand before God, you're going to have a good memory. You'll remember every invitation that you spurned. You'll remember every time the Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart. You'll remember it all. That precious blood, however, will enable you to escape the judgment of God Almighty. Just imagine all of those accumulated sins all gone in a moment. In a moment. You say, well, what's God do with them? Who cares? I don't care, do you? In one part of the Bible, it says that he subdues our sin. He's got it. Nobody getting out of his hands. I don't have to worry about him coming back on me. He subdued them. Listen, here's what else. In another passage, it says that our sins are separated from us and cast into the depths of the sea. They say the Mariana Trench is the deepest part of the oceans. I'm not going down there looking for them, are you? When James Cameron went down in that little submarine thing he had, I started to try to get an email address and email him and say, hey, James, did you see my sin when you were down there? You see, his blood is going to wash us clean. And then lastly, I want you to notice the condemnation of sin. The condemnation. Look at verse 5 again. He said, against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Paul said, the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgments of God. Now, three things, I'll give them to you, won't comment on them, but first, we see God's rage. We see God's rage. You see, folks, there is indeed coming a day of wrath. We're right now in a day of grace. But a day of wrath is coming. You want to make your calling and election sure, as Peter said. You know why? Because the author of the book of Hebrews said this, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Oh, you don't want to mess with God. You'll find out you've gotten hold of something you can't handle. Secondly, we see God's revelation. Man, is this revealing. You see, we might think that we have hidden our sins so nobody knows all the things we have done. But wait a minute, God knows. And when we stand before him, that's going to be revealed. Then thirdly, we see God's righteousness. The righteousness of God, the righteous judgment of God. God's divine justice is unlike courts today. You know, if you got a good lawyer, you got a lot of money, you can just about buy yourself out of anything. True, isn't it? I mean, my goodness, think of all the corruption that we have seen in our government. But boy, money talks, doesn't it? Evidently. And you know, January 6th clown courts where people are thrown in jail without being tried. Now listen, if you hurt a police officer, I say put you under the jail. You know? But just to go around and grab people and throw them in jail, no charges against them, and leave them there for 4 years? Mercy. Well, we're not going to see any of that with God at the great white throne. No, everybody standing there is going to know why they're there. And God's judgments are righteous. Now, my friend, let me ask you. Are you ready to stand before God? I can tell you right now, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm not planning to do that. But if I did die right now, I know I'm going to heaven. But do you know that? And if you don't know that, my friend, there are consequences to your not knowing. And I beg you to take care of that before it's too late. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're saved, you know it. You say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved from my sin. And if I died right now, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know it. Would you raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. Just lift your hand up where I can see it. Lift your hand. Amen. God bless. God bless. God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, that looked like about everybody, but I could have missed someone. So let me ask this question. Is there anyone here who will say, Pastor, I definitely do not want to stand before God in judgment? I definitely don't want to do that. And if I died right now, I'm just not 100% sure. But Pastor, pray for me, would you? Pray for me. I need the Lord as my Savior. Well, if that's you right now, could you just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it? And I promise you I will pray. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. God bless you. Anybody else? Anyone else? All right, in just a moment, we're going to pray, and then we're going to stand and sing a song. We call this the invitation hymn. And as we sing this, if you'd like to receive the Lord as your Savior this morning, I want to invite you to step out and come. Come down to the front here, and let us take a Bible, and in just a couple of minutes' time, we can show you how to know that you're on your way to heaven. So I hope you'll make that decision this morning. You said, Pastor, pray for me. Well, I'm going to do that right now, and then we're going to sing, and I want to invite you to come. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us like you do. Thank you for your precious word, this Bible that shows us how we can know we're going to heaven. And Father, I pray that folks will be thinking about what they've heard this morning, and that the Holy Spirit of God will so get a hold of hearts. And Father, I pray that you'll draw those to you who need to be born again today. And so, Father, give them courage, give them strength to come, and let us help so that they will one day stand before you, not in judgment, but in heaven, in joyfulness, in excitement, in a thrill for what eternity holds for them. So, Father, speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.